Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood and his family are still going through a situation where his son was admitted into the hospital with some symptoms. He was diagnosed with having a COVID. The hospital protocols that they used did not seem to help. In fact, in some cases, they may have caused some more complications. And we have been asking you to pray for Dr. Youngblood's son. His name is Gene. He's Gene Youngblood Jr. We ask that you please pray for him. Continue to pray. Both Dr. Youngblood and his entire family, his son, Gene, also has a family, and they very much appreciate your prayers. I know how important prayer is when you have a loved one in the hospital. I went through that, and I know many of you listeners out there went through that, and you know and recognize how important prayer is. So I ask you to please continue to pray for Dr. Youngblood and for his son, Gene, and for their family, that God would intervene, and only through his miraculous power that we will see his son, Gene Jr., healed from this condition that he is in, and that God would get all the glory from that. When we see that the situation looks almost impossible, that then God would be the one who will get the glory, because only God could do it, not some doctor or anything else. But your prayers, lifting him up, can bring much glory to God. Again, I'm Mike Hill. I'm a friend of Dr. Youngblood. I have been on his show numerous times as a guest host and also as a co-host with him. I'm out of the Pensacola, Florida area. I'm a military veteran, graduated from the Air Force Academy, served 10 years active duty, then started a small business. I own an insurance agency and have been doing that for 31 years now. I was elected to office in 2013 as a Florida state representative for District 2, and then again for District 1 in 2018. So I served a total of 5 years in the Florida State House. And it is my honor to host a show today, Face the Issues. We're going to be talking about a number of items, and I would encourage you, if you have any thoughts or comments you would like to share, to please call in. The number is 904-831-0917. Again, that is 901-834-0917. Now, Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. Online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a number of items I want to bring to your attention today that I hope we get a chance to get through them all and discuss. One we're going to be looking at is a Council for National Policy memo that's going out that states that President Biden must fire Anthony Fauci. Is that the truth or what? Then we're going to talk about tax fairness. What does tax fairness mean? And closely related to that is this leftist call, get this, this is not a joke, a leftist call for a 26-hour minimum wage. That's right, $15 minimum wage is passé. That's behind us. That's old. Now they're talking about a 26-hour minimum wage. That is utter nonsense. Doesn't even make any kind of sense. And then if we have time, we're going to talk about some items that are our focus for September from my friends at the John Birch Society, including Save Our Children and Freedom is Secure. So again, if you would like to join in the program today, ladies and gentlemen, that number is 904-831-0917. Okay, let's start with this memo, which is going to be released today. You are going to see it sent out via social media later today. And it was written by the Conservative Action Project, which is a part of the Council for National Policy. The title of it is President Biden Must Fire Dr. Anthony Fauci. And I agree with that 100%. So let's go ahead and read that article. And this is how it begins. It is dated September 13th. That's today. It's going to be released today. Conservatives call on President Biden to immediately fire Dr. Anthony Fauci from his position as the director of National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and from his position as chief medical advisor to the president. It has become increasingly clear that Dr. Fauci can no longer effectuate a coherent and transparent leadership role in a national public health response to COVID-19. Release of documents, including Dr. Fauci's own emails, show he misled the country with regard to masking, virus origin theories, and herd immunity based on his own beliefs about what he thought the country needed to hear. The article goes on to say, public health is not an invitation to dictatorship. Rather, it is a position of trust and guidance, one that Dr. Fauci has come to abuse through his overt politicking and lack of transparency with the public, including with members of Congress. In multiple congressional hearings, Dr. Fauci has denied that the National Institutes of Health, under his direction, funded gain-of-function research in China. Most recently in June, Dr. Fauci responding to questioning from Senator Rand Paul by claiming that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. He went on, if anyone is lying here, Senator, it is you. The article goes on to say, yet documents recently obtained by The Intercept via a Freedom of Information Act request reveal that at least two NIH grants to the Echo Health Alliance, which subcontracted to the Wuhan Institute, funded gain-of-function research. More specifically, the grant funding supported the Wuhan-based construction of a novel chimeric SARS-related coronavirus that resulted in viruses that could infect human cells. That's amazing. In other words, the United States government was funding research to supercharge bat coronaviruses for infections in humans. Research that was at different times deemed too risky to fund and banned by both the Obama and Trump administrations. Research that modifies animal viruses for infection into humans is definitely gain-of-function research, despite Dr. Fauci's repeated claims to the contrary. Dr. Fauci knew this and denied it in front of Congress, while calling a United States senator a liar to boot. He is guilty of perjury. We call on President Biden to fire Fauci, and if he does not, we call on Congress to impeach him and remove him from his public service positions at the White House and the NIAID. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the article, and I agree with it 100%. Dr. Fauci has demonstrated that he is not worthy of our trust. He is not worthy of that position that he is in, and that he does need to be removed from that position immediately. We're not talking 6 months from now. We're not talking a year from now. We're talking that he needs to be removed from that position right now. Now, let me read to you some of the people who have signed this important memo. The Honorable Ed Meese, who was Attorney General under President Ronald Reagan. Alfred S. Regnery, who is the Chairman of the Conservative Action Project and President of Republican Book Publishers. The Honorable David McIntosh, who is President of Club for Growth. And Scott T. Parkinson, who's Vice President for Government Affairs Club for Growth. There's Kelly Shackelford. There's the Honorable Betty Norton Dunlap. There's Penny Nance, who's President and CEO of Concerned Women for America. Wesley Denton, Brent Brazell, the Honorable Matt Schlapp, the Honorable Jim DeMint, and it goes on. And I would like to say also, I am a proud signer of this memo. I am a member for Council for National Policy, and I agree with it 100%. I signed this memo, and we need to get rid of Fauci right away. He is one of the highest paid members in civil government, and he has demonstrated that he does not deserve to be in that position. He is making economic gains from this entire situation of this coronavirus and these vaccines, and there's a complete conflict of interest, and he must be removed from office. Either Joe Biden needs to fire him, and if he does not, then Congress needs to impeach him. Now, will that actually happen, ladies and gentlemen? Who knows? You know, it's probably doubtful, but if we do not stand up, if we do not stand up and make a stand and make our voices heard, then we might as well just sit back and take everything they throw at us. No, not me, and I don't think you will either. This audience of Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, let's face the issues. I think you are also ones who will stand up and agree that we need to fight when the fight is due. And this is definitely a time when the fight is due. We need to get rid of Fauci. Now, let's change topics just a little bit, and let's talk about tax fairness. What does tax fairness mean? You know, we hear this all the time from those on the left. The rich aren't paying their fair share, but they never define what that is. So I have an article here from a professor. His name is Theodore A. Gephardt. He writes for the American Institute for Economic Research, which, by the way, is an excellent organization, ladies and gentlemen. You can go and find their articles at AIER.org. That's AIER.org. That stands for American Institute for Economic Research. I've been looking at their articles for over 10 years now, and they never disappoint. Okay, here's the article by Dr. Gephardt. It begins this way. Politicians, particularly those on the left, routinely proclaim that businesses and high-income individuals should pay their fair share taxes. This necessarily assumes that there is not only a share of taxes that is fair, but also that a fair share can be determined. Such assumptions, however, are never made explicit, nor do proponents of higher taxes on those groups explain their method for determining fairness. Rather, we hear only vague notions of fairness based on seemingly highly subjective beliefs. This begs the question of whether tax fairness should even enter any discussion of tax policy. I hold that it should not, says Theodore Gephardt. Let me stop from reading the article just a little bit now and tell you one of my experiences. When I was a member of the Florida House, this was probably back in 2014, here in Pensacola, the Pensacola Chamber of Commerce was hosting an event where they were talking about their business plans for the upcoming year, and they had all the elected officials there. We were on a panel. I was one of probably six or seven who were there on the dais, and they were talking about the business climate and what they wanted to do in the upcoming future. And of course, taxes always comes into play when you hold that discussion. And this Chamber of Commerce at the time was not as conservative to my liking that I would want it to be, and was actually talking about our tax situation and perhaps even wanting to increase taxes in some areas. And when it came to me, they asked for my comments. I told them this. I says, wait, let's back up. Let's talk first a little bit about what is the purpose of taxes. The purpose of taxes, I would submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, is for government to perform its limited functions, its enumerated limited powers, period. That is the purpose of taxes, that when government takes from you your hard-earned money, it is only so that government can provide its services back to the people, but only in a limited fashion. Taxes should not be used to try and make things more fair. Taxes should not be used to try and pick winners and losers. Taxes should not be used to further some politician's political career. In other words, they take these taxes, hard-earned money from you, and then what do they do with that money? Oftentimes, they give it to others. They give it to their friends. We call that capital cronyism. They give it to those who will make donations to their political campaign, and it gets way outside of the scope of taxes simply being used for government to perform its limited enumerated functions. Okay, now let's get back to this article by Theodore Gephardt, and he's writing for the American Institute for Economic Research. The question of what is tax fairness is timely because House and Senate Democrats, as part of their budget reconciliation bill, are presently seeking to raise taxes on both corporations and high-income earners, claiming that these groups do not pay their fair share of taxes. Senator Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat out of Massachusetts, introduced a bill earlier this month in which she states that higher taxes on corporations are necessary to ensure that they pay their fair share so that we can raise essential revenue to invest in families and our economy. Okay, I'm going to stop just for a second. She says all this, but she does not define what any of it means. They want to raise essential revenue. Well, what's essential? Why don't you define what that is? In my mind, essential is only so that government can perform its limited enumerative powers, not to do whatever it wants, and to invest in families and our economy. Government has no constitutional authority to invest in families and our economy. You're stepping way outside the scope of your limited enumerated powers that are expressed in our Constitution. You're not supposed to step outside the bounds of that. It is not your responsibility to invest in families and our economy. It is we, the people, to a responsibility to invest in our families. It is for a family to invest in its family. It's for a local government to invest in our economy. It is for businesses to invest in our economy, not for government to do so. Okay, back to the article. This bill, referring to Senator Warren's bill, intended to be a part of a larger Democratic reconciliation bill, has been introduced in the House in substantially the same form by Representative Don Beyer, a Democrat out of Virginia. Meanwhile, Senate Budget Committee Chairman Bernie Sanders, okay, I'm going to stop for a second. How on earth is Bernie Sanders, a communist, the chairman of the Budget Committee, the Senate Budget Committee? They put a communist, an avowed stated communist, in charge of the Senate Budget Committee. Unbelievable. Now, Bernie Sanders, going back to the article, aims at increasing taxes on high income and high wealth individuals. Of course he does. That's what communists do. Communists have never seen a tax that they don't like. The higher the taxes, the better it are to these communists. Why? Because the more they can take from you, the more they can control you. Now, this is what Bernie Sanders tweets. I'm going back to the article now. We are going to tax the wealth of these billionaires. Of course you are. And with the budget reconciliation legislation, we are finally going to invest in the needs of the working class of this country. Trust me, he writes, I wrote the bill. Okay, what on earth does he mean? We are finally going to invest in the needs of the working class of this country. What does that mean? As if the government has not already been investing for decades, ever since Franklin Roosevelt and his his New Deal, and then exacerbated by President Johnson with his war on poverty and so forth and all that nonsense. The Democrats have been investing in what they call the working class of this country for decades now. And here is this communist, Bernie Sanders, saying, finally, we are going to invest in the needs of the working class. Ladies and gentlemen, we must stop this at all costs if we can. That $1.7 trillion reconciliation bill passed. Utterly unbelievable. Unbelievable. Congress has already spent $5 trillion this year alone. And a vast majority of that money has not even gone out yet to where it is supposed to go, what they intend and want to spend it on. It is still sitting with some administration somewhere because they are so inefficient at doing their jobs. And now they want to consider an additional $3.5 trillion bill that they want to pass. Unbelievable. And we have Senator Joe Manchin, who is having a brief period of sanity, is saying, wait, hold on, why don't we slow down? He's not saying let's not do it. What he is saying is, hey, let's slow down. We haven't spent all the other money yet. So before we start spending more money, let's just slow down and see what we're doing right now. And why don't you just stop spending our money altogether? We are already so much in debt that it can hardly be paid back at the present rate that you are doing it. We just need you to stop spending money altogether. Okay, let's get back to the article. President Biden, of course, Two believes companies and high-income earners do not pay enough taxes. In a speech last May of 2020, he asked, is it more important to shield millionaires from paying their fair share of taxes, or is it more important than every child gets a real opportunity to succeed from an early age and ease the burden on working families? Come on, man. That is so stupid. I'm sorry. I don't even like using that word, but it comes off my tongue easily when I'm talking about the left and Democrats. He's talking about he's asking a question. Is it more important to shield millionaires from paying their fair share? Again, they never define what fair share means. And is it more important that every child gets a real opportunity to succeed from an early age? Every child in America has an opportunity to succeed. We live in the greatest nation the world has ever seen. And the opportunity is there for every child. We don't need government to try and tell us and dictate what an opportunity is for a child. The opportunity is there if you will just seize it. And people from all over the world recognize that, and that's why they come in here by the droves. We have illegal invaders coming across our borders right now at an enormous rate. We're at this current pace, by the end of the year, it will be 2.5 million illegal invaders coming into this country. Now, why would they come here if they didn't think there was not an opportunity? There's an opportunity for everyone who comes to this nation. And in fact, the Democrats want them to come here because they don't want to give them an opportunity to succeed. They want to give them an opportunity to become dependent on the government, because then they will become voters for the Democrats, for the left, who always want to give a handout to people. And it's never enough. It's never enough to get them exactly what is needed. It's only enough for them to hang on and to want just a little bit more and a little bit more. And then the left will demand that they know they can't provide them with enough. So then they will demand that businesses pay a $26 an hour minimum wage. Utter nonsense. They create one disastrous problem after another. Let's get back to the article. We'll finish up before we get, and then at the top of the hour, we'll continue it. Significantly, all that we can glean from these pronouncements is that Biden, Sanders, and Warren believe that businesses and those earning higher incomes owe society more in taxes than they already pay, notwithstanding that income tax rates on individuals are already progressive. That is, marginal rates increase with income. Never stated is a reasoned basis, either in ethics or some other grounding for this belief, or if there is an upper limit to what businesses and higher income earners owe to society. He is exactly right. Setting corporate taxes aside to focus on individuals, I suggest that reasoned arguments can be made from both an intuitive ethics and an economics perspective that, if anything, high income earners are already paying well more than their fair share of taxes, and that their absolute tax payments or marginal rates should therefore be reduced. I agree with that 100%. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break now. We're going to come back after the break at the top of the hour. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Don't turn your dial. Join us right after this break. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.